One sign of how open we've become to new ideas in nutrition is how restaurants have changed. You want vegan, vegetarian, gluten-free? Well, there's a restaurant for that. Or at least there's a selection of dishes on most menus. Andrew Weil is one of the experts that's influencing these changes. He's a Harvard-trained MD who researched nutrition all over the world, and he tracks and vets the latest nutritional science. His new book is True Food: Seasonal, Sustainable, Simple, Pure. Dr. Weil, good to have you with us.
Thank you.
You know, every week we hear different information about what's good for us, what's not good for us. How do you evaluate all of this?
You know, I organize every year an annual conference on nutrition and health for clinicians. And what I have seen is that in the group of nutrition researchers, there's a very high degree of consensus on all the big questions, such as what is an optimum diet, what are good fats, what are bad fats, what are good carbs, what are bad carbs. Somehow that consensus information is not making it into the training of health professionals, and it certainly isn't making it into the media and to the general public. As you say, people think it's totally confused out there and throw up their hands and say you may as well just eat anything. And that's not the way it is. We really know a great deal now about what is good for you, what's not good for you, and how diet correlates with health.
All right. You know what the next question is?
Yeah.
What are they?
Well, if you look around the world, the two traditional diets that have the best correlation with health and longevity are the traditional Japanese diet and the Mediterranean diet. The traditional Japanese diet is not very exportable except to Japanese restaurants. It's very labor-intensive and has a lot of strange ingredients in it. But the Mediterranean diet, I think, is easily adaptable. People like it. The essence of the Mediterranean diet is lots of fresh fruits and vegetables, little meat, except on feast occasions, but plenty of fish, which are sources of omega-3 fatty acids. Mm-hmm. Olive oil is a main fat. Whole grain products, sugar in moderation, red wine, if you like that. That's a diet that's easily appealing to many people. And I'd say here are two areas of great misunderstanding in the public. One is not knowing the difference between a whole grain and a pulverized grain. Products made from powdered grains, from flour, really disturb blood sugar and are a major factor in obesity, in type 2 diabetes. When you eat a whole grain, that's where you actually can see a grain or a big piece of a grain. Digestion of the starch is slow and conversion to blood sugar is slow. If I ask most people in this country to name a whole grain food, they'll say whole wheat bread. Right. Whole wheat bread is not a whole grain food. It's made from flour, and that's very different. The other big misunderstanding I see is not understanding the difference between fruit and fruit juice. Fruit has fiber in it, which blunts the effect of the sugar in it. Fruit juice is a concentrated sugar source. Uh-huh. And the new research coming out on sugar is very concerning. One of the main components of sugars is a compound called fructose, often called fruit sugar, which sounds very innocuous. But the human body can't digest fructose. It disrupts liver metabolism. Table sugar is half fructose. Some sweeteners like agave syrup are much higher, 80% fructose. Mm-hmm. And you want to really minimize consumption of that. And that means trying to cut down on all sweets. If there was one thing that I'd focus on in our culture, it would be sugary drinks. If we could really focus on that and make those go away, that would be a huge advance.
Fats. This is another puzzle. We hear we shouldn't, then we hear we should, then we hear ones that were supposedly not good for us, like coconut fat. Now it's okay. So where does the fat stand, and where does the low-carb, high-carb?
Coconut fat I'm not going to take on, because that's an area of huge controversy, and I don't know the answer to it. I'll wait and see. At the moment, I'm wary about it. But in general, we are still under the spell of the low-fat era that was really dominant in the 1970s and 1980s when people saw fat as the main culprit in the diet. All the new research suggests that fat is not what makes you fat, that we need fat, we need the right kinds of fat, that you can have enough fat in the diet to make food tasty if you're eating the right kinds of it. And the right kinds, olive oil is the best. You want to avoid margarine and artificially hardened fats and things that might have trans fats in them. You know, there's a whole lot of rules about that, but
right.
We should not look at fat as a bad thing. On the other hand, I think the new research suggests that carbohydrates have a huge influence on our weight and metabolism. And the trick here is to eat slower slower digesting carbohydrates that don't rapidly turn into blood sugar. And that mostly means trying to minimize consumption of products made with flour and sugar.
One other thing that, and this is the thing that I think puzzles a lot of us.
Yep.
What are the clues that can tell us what's right for each of us as individuals?
Very good question, because we are all individual and we're biochemically unique. And I think one of the interesting frontiers of nutritional research is nutrigenomics, that is correlating individual genetics with what we need. And I think soon we're going to be able to map our genes in ways that will guide us towards individual prescription of foods and diets.
I cannot wait for that moment. Dr. Weil, thank you for talking with us.
My pleasure.
Dr. Andrew Weil is co-author of True Food, Seasonal, Sustainable, Simple, Pure. Now, for a supper and a bowl dinner party dish, try his recipe for tofu curry with cauliflower, rice noodles, and cashews. It's vegan and it's gluten-free. And you can find it on the website, splendidtable.org. This is The Splendid Table from AP.